Hello and welcome to Relationship Rewind on WERU FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, a youth educator and advocate at Next Step Domestic Violence Project. Often young people are expected to just know how to be in relationships in healthy and equal ways, but we learn through the examples of relationships given to us, and a big place we see these examples is in the media we watch. That's why this show uses media like movies and TV shows to start conversations about harmful and unhealthy behaviors in the relationships portrayed. But this is not to pass judgment on the media we're discussing. Every month, we invite young people in Maine to give their perspective and to voice their thoughts, opinions, and experiences around what they've seen in media and how it has impacted them or the people they know. There are sensitive materials in and spoilers of the media we discuss. Our guest this month is local pre-K teacher and mom, Ashley, and we will be continuing our series on the After films. After We Collided is the second film in this series and continues the story of Hardin and Tessa picking up where the first film left them. After their breakup, a morose Hardin uses unhealthy coping mechanisms in an attempt to move on, while Tessa pursues her dream career. Before long, the pair resumes their relationship until miscommunication and desires for different things in life leaves them in limbo. If you need support or would like to learn more about dating violence or domestic violence, please reach out to us at Next Step by calling our 24/7 helpline at 1-800-315-5579. You can also find resources for young people on our website at nextstepdvproject.org/4-youth. Keep up with our community events and see upcoming information about our show by following us at Next Step Domestic Violence Project on Facebook or on Instagram at nextstepdvprojectofficial. I'd like to now introduce Ashley for our conversation about After We Collided. So our show focuses on the relationships that we see in like books and movies and TV shows where the behaviors between partners are portrayed in a romantic way or like these big grand gestures or these are passionate things that are happening. But if those things actually happen to us in real life, we would be like, well, wait a minute, that doesn't like, feel good.
Yeah.
Or like this feels really bad or is upsetting or
what
scary.
Would actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you mind telling me a little bit about what your experience has been like growing up and seeing that in the media that you have watched and you've grown up with?
I always like putting myself in other people's shoes. And I think that by watching these romantic movies and shows, putting myself in other people's dilemmas or feels, I would say that honestly being put, I don't think I've ever been put in that position, but if I ever was, I don't know I would ever take what happened in a show or a movie. I don't think I would. I would just act on my own instinct and just do what I thought was right. I don't think I would be like, oh yeah, that's what they did in the movie, so I'm gonna do that. Like, unless it was like a survival one, maybe?
Like when I was growing up, I really loved watching 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah.
And She's All That and all of those like Josh Hartnett movies. And I can remember like seeing some of the behaviors in those movies where like the guy is pretending to like the girl and surprises a big joke, but now he actually likes her once she gets all pretty. Yeah. I can remember seeing those things and like thinking, man, that's really romantic.
Would that actually happen in high school?
Right.
Like
I can remember wanting those types of things to happen to me when I was in high school. Now I'm like, what are they doing?
Exactly. Because like, and how would your peers act? You know, if that would happen, exactly. Like, if I would always think about those things, definitely, for sure. But if it was to put into play, like, if that was to happen, even not just to you, but to another peer in high school, how would you react? It's just, how would you react to that? Or, you know, like, the Air Bud movies or something, you know, like, just something silly, you know, how you would react. But I think I would just act on my own instinct. I don't think I would act.
Yeah, it's hard to know what you would do in a situation if you're not in that situation.
Yeah.
Like, until you're actually put in that position, it's hard to know how you
very
might
well
react.
Put. Yeah, I think I've said that about, not just about in a movie situation, like just about anything. What if this would happen to your spouse or your parent or your child or your pet or, you know, like anything. And I always, like with the movies about relationships with your child or with your partner and a family movie or something like that, you know, if your children get, you know, kidnapped or something, what would you do? Or a survival movie or something like that. Like, I remember asking my parents, I think, watching a movie growing up, like, well, would you come look for me? What would you do? What would be your next move? I remember asking my parents that. Would I be doing that for my kid, or would I be the psycho one going and not listening to the cops and just, you know, going crazy,
right,
looking for my kid? I don't know, because I'm not in that position.
Yeah.
Or if your spouse cheats on you in a relationship, would you take it with pride and move on and call it quits? Or would you key his truck, pop his tires? I don't know. I've never been put in that position. It's really hard to say.
Great. I think that's a really interesting perspective. And I think it's a really good point, because you don't know what you would do in that situation, but you can think about it.
I definitely do. Watching the movies, I always put myself, like I say, I always put myself in the other person's shoe, and I think about those things. I definitely do, but I don't know what I would actually do.
Yeah, I think it's normal for anybody to be watching a movie or a show, anything that's made to entertain us, to go, what if that was my life? What would I do in that situation? But we don't actually know until we're in that situation. So it can be really hard. So we're going to talk about the second film in the After series, which is called After We Collided. And I was really, really excited that you were excited to talk about these movies, because they're very, very popular, and they're super popular with young people. And so we're doing the series for that reason. And I'm excited because the guests that we have lined up are all very different. And so I'm excited to get people's different perspectives as professionals and as you're a mom. You work with young people. You're a teacher. So I think it's really awesome to get your perspective. I think it will be very valuable. So you've seen all of these movies, it sounds like.
I love them. I'm a diehard for romantic movies, like sob, squishy, like this isn't squishy, but like just romantic, heartfelt ones, the ones that get the guy to worry about the girl, the ones that the girl might be in trouble and the guy has to worry about her, and you know, the drama. I do like those.
I always say that I love drama, but other people's drama.
Others. Yep.
Which is great, because these movies are full
of drama.
Of drama. There is so much.
And they make it themselves.
Yes. So we have Hardin, who's the main guy character, and we have Tessa as the main girl character. And they have a very tumultuous on again, off again relationship throughout these films. And so in the second movie, she has ended things after finding out in the first film that he had only pursued her as like a bet, which goes back to that trope that we mentioned at the beginning, where, you know,
Freddie Prinze Jr. type thing.
Exactly. So apparently this type of thing is still
a thing,
popular in the media.
Your typical romance movie.
Exactly, I mean, right? You can't do it without it.
Right.
And so she has found out about this, and of course is devastated, and then she is going off to pursue her dream career in this publishing company. And he is being broody and mopey and dark and handsome and poetic, being a little bit self-destructive while she goes off and does that. And we see her like doing very well and meeting new people and going out and doing things. And then they end up back together, and then they're fighting, and it's, the whole thing is just
so toxic for each other. They end up finding each other anyways.
Is there an example that you can think of off the top of your head where the behaviors are something that you see constantly, maybe in the media, that might be like normalized, but they're, like you said, toxic, something that's super toxic, but is seems kind of like normal, like what you might think would happen in a relationship?
I think there's probably quite a few, honestly, because you just really gotta pick it apart. The communication and the way that they go, because she has a good relationship with his stepbrother. together. So, like, he comes up to their conversation and misconstrues that. So, like, oh, you're going away. You know, like, yes, she's bettering her life.
Right.
So there's always, there's got to be, not just in movies, in romantic movies, there's got to be that in other relationships that young people are watching, that that's happened, not just to make them feel awful about wanting to further their future, you know? So I feel like that was a big, awful feeling for her.
Mm-hmm.
But also in a way that I think he had his own reasons. So he just didn't know how to go about it. And then I think, like you said, being disruptive with himself, the drinking, that's a big one. Partying, for everybody sees that, you know. And I think them going out and trying to be normal, always disruptive for them. That's just a few.
Mm-hmm.
I'm missing some.
Yeah, there's so much.
They're so toxic.
They're very toxic. The behaviors give you whiplash.
Yeah.
Because it's so back and forth very quickly mm-hmm. in this short amount of time in the film. And it's like that throughout mm-hmm. the series.
And I feel like she also tries and she wants to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And she even tries to move on with somebody so quickly that they're latching on, not really him, but her. She's latching on to other people and hurting them in the process. And they're getting attached to her. So she's not only hurting herself, but hurting other people too in the process. That's got to be everywhere. That's not fair.
I definitely think that a lot of what you have just said is something that I see
mm-hmm.
in the real world too, where we're seeing it normalized in the media, mm-hmm. like especially this movie. But when you're in a breaking up situation, of course you're hurting. That's normal. Mm-hmm. But those self-destructive behaviors like drinking and drugs and intimate situations with mm-hmm. somebody that you barely know just to kind of get over feeling really, really bad.
Right.
I think those are all things that people do.
Lying to each mm-hmm. other. Yeah.
Those are definitely things that people are doing in real life too,
right.
but they're not necessarily the healthiest things right. for ourselves.
Or even realizing really that mm-hmm. they're doing it, you know?
And I think that a lot of us have been there. We've self-medicated with things that maybe aren't the healthiest for mm-hmm. us, with people or substances. What do you think the impact might be on a young person seeing this movie
mm-hmm.
and watching people go through a breakup to know these things aren't
like our own children growing up and watching this?
Yes, exactly. You know, you and I have very young daughters mm-hmm. and I'm thinking about like them watching a movie like this where these people are going through a breakup and they're doing these very unhealthy things to try to feel better. How do you think that might impact people who are young, who don't have that background knowledge to know?
I mean, some can be very influenced and can be like, well, they had a lot of fun. Look what happened to them, you know? And let's just do it once, you know? It's that one time. And it just takes that one time.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's all about the not knowing. Because I don't know. They're kids. They're gonna do what they want to do. Honestly, I don't know this generation. The little kids that are coming through, they're all different. And I think peer pressure. Mm-hmm. I think having, if you have a friend too, and watching, I think maturity as well. And depending on that, I mean, I can look at my kid and use her as an example. And if she gets a little bit older in a few years and watches this movie, I would like to say that I think she would make good choices. I think she would try something at a party. I think she would, because she knows alcohol, because she knows alcohol around the family. So that's my experience of that. So kids only know what they've been taught. And if the movie teaches them that, so
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. And what their friends teach them.
Yeah. I think that you made a really, really important point, which is that every child has a different experience.
Yeah.
You mentioned your family and this is what your child knows because this is what your child has experienced in her family or at school with her friends. And every young person has a different mm-hmm. experience in their own lives with all of those things. So
mm-hmm.
they learn by what they're seeing.
Right.
We all learn learn by the things that we see, what our families went through, who we had to talk to, mm-hmm. our friends, what they have gone through. So the media can definitely have a big impact. And if they're watching movies like this where people are self-medicating or they're partying or they're being peer pressured, like you said, yeah. In this movie, I know Hardin's just trying to kind of be by himself because he's going through the breakup and he's feeling his feelings, and his friends are constantly texting him to come out and come party.
Exactly.
And then he goes and he does that, and then yeah. it's just downhill yeah. from there for him. So I think that that's a really great point. It depends on each person's experience. And if they don't have somebody telling them, like,
that hey, support this system.
That support system exactly is mm-hmm. so important. And if they don't have that, because not every kiddo does have that,
right.
and you know that as a mm-hmm. teacher, you see that. So having that support system at home or in school is so important. And if they don't have that mm-hmm. and the media is how they're seeing mm-hmm. things get handled, then that might not be the best. My relationship's normal because I'm being yelled at and I'm being constantly texted and somebody's following my location. And those things are normalized in the media that we see.
Right.
The other thing that you had mentioned, which I'm glad that you brought up as an example, was Tessa trying to better herself and following her dreams and going for it with her career. And she gets this really great opportunity to move with the company and continue her journey in that. And Hardin overhears a conversation with her and his stepbrother. And just kind of loses his mind.
Yeah.
Without having a conversation. And you brought up communication.
Right.
Which I feel like is not very prevalent in the media. There's not a lot of good communication happening in these movies at all.
Right. Or realistic.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, okay, that conversation that just happened like that. Really?
Like, right.
Would that happen? You know, like in a perfect world, maybe. In my house, absolutely not.
Yeah. But yeah, so he just kind of blows up. And I think that that can be really problematic for young people to see too,
mm-hmm.
because they're seeing that it's not okay to keep going for what you want to do and
right.
putting yourself first. And as young people, it's important to focus on yourself and the things that you want to do.
Exactly.
If you're just joining in, this is Relationship Rewind on WERU FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, and today we're talking with Ashley about the behaviors in the film After We Collided.
Were there any other examples that you can think of where the behaviors get kind of out of control, or...
He wasn't always trying to move on like she was. It's like he was waiting. And then that time, I feel like fairly early in the movie, she drunk to call him and he saved her right on time, was there. And of course, you know, the company that she works for knows Hardin, and we all know why later on in the movies. So, you know, like it's, they get tangled up and, you know, and throughout the, not just in that movie, but I using that as an example because throughout the movies, that's what keeps happening.
Mm-hmm.
They keep meeting up like that each time they break up. And it's, I feel like if they didn't have that happen, they probably could have moved on. But they're so toxic for each other. And because it eventually ended up, you know, like it just, but in those times, it wasn't good for them to do that to each other. So they could have found probably better ways to deal with that. For young people to see that, that's probably not the best way to deal with those moments. So
you hit on the point where this is technically a successful relationship because,
oh, yeah.
spoiler alert, they do end up together in the end, like when we leave them.
Mm.
So technically, by all accounts, this is a successful relationship because they end up together in the end. They work through a lot of these behaviors. But getting to that point should not be paved with this back and forth, mm-mm. toxic, screaming at each other, fighting constantly, breaking up several times. I mean, I understand there are nuances and people break up and they get back together. And I'm not suggesting that people shouldn't ever do that. But the constant back and forth just feels like there are some deep-seated issues here that they don't necessarily get solved.
Right.
You know, changes happen, but the root of causes don't necessarily.
Exactly. Now I'm starting to remember. But I don't know if this is part of movie two. Like, getting into fights, I think he threw a lamp. And I think she did a great job. She just left it there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good for you. I would have thrown a fit and cleaned it up because I can't leave a mess. So, oh, I would have been so mad. And then, yeah, again, with the back and forth. And then him making her feel, not really making, but like his mom is there now. And then her staying, that was kind of awkward. Being put in those positions again, feelings.
So again, manipulative.
A little bit, yeah. So again, what would those young viewers do in that position if you're trying to separate yourself from somebody and family is there? And do you say something and be like, well, we're not really, you know, but it was nice to see you? Or do you just pretend?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just, in real life, would that really happen? You know, realistically. So,
yeah, but I think it could, especially if people are seeing that highlighted in the media.
She's just meeting her mom, mm-hmm. his mom for the first time, yeah. You know?
Yeah. And she had decided she was done.
Right.
And then tried to play it like they were still together,
mm-hmm.
when she had no reason.
Loved her.
Mm-hmm.
Loved her.
Yeah. So I think that's hard, and I think that I've definitely seen real life situations where things like that have happened, mm-hmm. where it's hard to let go because of family or family members kind of maybe get involved a little bit,
yeah.
and kind of try to persuade somebody to stay or get back together.
I'm shocked about as well is no pregnancy.
That's really important to talk about too, though, because
but you see them, mm-hmm. taking precautions.
Yeah, there's so. It's like there's some good stuff about it. They do show a lot of like protected sex, mm-hmm. happening, which I think is important because when I was growing up, that was not a thing.
Not.
They did not show that. And
no.
I think that definitely negatively impacted young people.
I see a lot of that in the films now that I watch,
yeah,
with the romance ones that show that.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I do think that they use that the passion and the sex as a way to stay together, too. You mentioned she calls him from the club and she has been drinking and she's just like being flirty on the phone. And
yeah.
And he shows up and she actually says to him, you know, we need to have sex or you need to leave. Like, those are the options. And
traps him.
And he does try to say, like, no, you're drunk. You know, you don't want to do this. You're going to be mad in the morning. And I'm not saying he made the correct choice. He could have left.
Right.
And that probably would have been a better choice.
Right.
But that's not the choice he made. And she does get upset.
She does.
She is mad. But I think that can be really confusing for young people,
yeah.
watching. That happens, mm-hmm. a lot where people are, they're drinking and they get into a situation that is potentially becoming sexual and they have to make a decision.
Right.
And the media is showing different things. Society is telling them different, yep. things. And it's a really confusing thing.
Yep.
And so it's hard to make those decisions when you don't know,
right,
what the right thing to do is. What do you think that the impact of this movie as a whole might have on young people watching?
I feel like it might be a little overdone. I feel like unrealistic, but a little realistic at the same time, of what could happen if you make some of these choices going into the real world with your choice of a person. It just depends on their choices. But watching these movies or watching this film, it could make them be like, we're never doing that at a party, or we're not going to, or choices with friends.
I think that makes sense. I think it really is dependent upon the person and the situation. I know, yeah. when I was young and watching movies that were similar to this,
mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, that's what I want. Like, I want somebody who will quote unquote fight for me. Or who just wants me so much that they can't stand the thought of me being with somebody else or being, you know, doing something else. But the reality of that for me was that when I had that experience, it was terrifying and mm-hmm. it was very damaging. But I also know people who will watch a movie like this and go, absolutely not. What do you think is important for young people to keep in mind when they are consuming media, when they're watching TV shows or watching movies? What should they be keeping in mind?
It's not real. I mean, you can act on things, but you can also, you can learn from some of the media. Some can teach you a lot. And then some teach you things you don't need to know. But it's just how you choose to take that information, I guess. Filter. Everybody's different and everyone's going to take something different out of each movie, show, book. Like you said in the beginning, everyone's going to take something different. And I think I'm glad that there's stuff like this out there to get everybody's, and I love hearing everyone's, like, in a group, because I love the movies.
Yeah.
I don't agree with everything that happens in the movies, but I love the movies.
Yeah. I think that was a really good point, though, is you don't have to agree with the behaviors.
Mm-mm.
You know, you can love the movie because it's, in the end, it's entertainment. That's what it's for.
Right.
That doesn't mean that we have to agree very with well the said. Actual behaviors, the yeah. things that are happening. We don't, you know, but we can still take things away from it.
Right.
So it's important to just have conversations about it and be mindful mm-hmm. of those things. If we do, you know, find ourselves feeling like, well, it's normal to be screamed at in a relationship because it's everywhere. It's not. It's not okay. It's never okay. But we won't know that if we don't have conversations about right. it.
We'd like to thank Ashley for being our guest speaker this month as we continue breaking down the behaviors in the After series of films based on the books by Anna Todd. We're excited to have a variety of insights on such a popular series for young people and the impacts they may have on those watching. You have been listening to Relationship Rewind. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, and I hope you'll join us again next month on the third Tuesday from 4:30 to 5, where we will be continuing this conversation and breaking down another relationship in popular media. You can also listen to our live stream or subscribe to our podcast at weru.org or on the WERU smartphone app. You can also find us on Spotify and Apple Music. If you are a young person in Maine who is interested in being a guest speaker on the show, have ideas of media we could talk about, or you know of a young person who might be interested, please reach out to me at cclark@nextstepdvproject.org. If you would like support or to learn more about dating violence or domestic violence, please reach out to us at Next Step by calling our 24/7 helpline at 1-800-315-5579. You can also find resources for young people on our website at nextstepdvproject.org/foryouth. Keep up with our community events and see upcoming information about our show by following us at Next Step Domestic Violence Project on Facebook or on Instagram at Next Step DV Project Official.